Tasman.
Tasman.
Namna.
Namna.
Vishnurata.
Vishnurata.
Iti.
Iti.
Loke.
Loke.
Bhavishyati.
Bhavishyati.
Na.
Na.
Sandeho.
Sandeho.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhagavato.
Mahabhagavato.
Mahan.
Mahan.
Tasman. Namna. Vishnurata. Tasman namna Vishnurata.
Tasman namna Vishnurata.
Iti loke bhavishyati.
Iti loke bhavishyati.
Iti loke bhavishyati.
Iti loke bhavishyati.
Na sandeho mahabhaga.
Na sandeho mahabhaga.
Na sandeho mahabhaga.
Na sandeho mahabhaga.
Mahabhagavato mahan. Therefore, namna, by the name, Vishnurataho,
protected by Vishnu,
the personality of Godhead,
iti,
thus, loke,
in all the planets,
bhavishyati,
shall become well known,
na,
no.
Sandeha,
Sandeha,
doubts.
Doubts.
Mahabhaga,
Mahabhaga,
most fortunate.
Mahabhagavato,
the first class devotee of the Lord. Mahan, qualified by all good qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. For this reason, the child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. Purport. The Lord gives protection to all living entities because He is their supreme leader. The Vedic hymns confirm that the Lord is the supreme person amongst all personalities. The difference between the two living beings is that the one, the personality of Godhead, provides for all other living beings. And by knowing Him, one can achieve eternal peace. Katha Upanishad. Such protection is given by His different potencies to different grades of living beings. But as far as His unalloyed devotees are concerned, He gives the protection personally. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is protected from the very beginning of His appearance in the womb of His mother. And because He is especially given protection by the Lord, the indication must be concluded that the child would be a first-grade devotee of the Lord with all good qualities. There are three grades of devotees, namely the Mahabhagavat, Madhyam Adhikari, and the Kanista Adhikari. Those who go to the temples of the Lord and offer worshipful respect to the deity without sufficient knowledge in the theological science, and therefore without any respect for the devotees of the Lord, are called materialistic devotees or Kanista Adhikari, the third grade devotees. Secondly, the devotees who have developed a mentality of genuine service to the Lord and who thus make friendships only with similar devotees, show favor to the neophyte and avoid the atheists, are called the second grade devotees. But those who see everything in the Lord and everything of the Lord and also see in everything in an eternal relation of the Lord, so that there is nothing within the pure view, within their purview of sight except the Lord, are called the Mahabhagavats, or the first great devotees of the Lord. Such first great devotees of the Lord are perfect in all respects. A devotee who may be in any of these categories is automatically qualified by all good qualities. And thus a Mahabhagavat devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is certainly perfect in all respects. And because Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthira, He is addressed herein as the Mahabhagavata, or the greatest of the fortunates. The family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate, because due to the birth of a first great devotee, the members of the family, past, present, and future, up to 100 generations, become liberated by the grace of the Lord. Out of respect for his beloved devotee, therefore the highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Tasmanamna Vishnurata Uti Loke Bhavishyati Nasandeho Mahabhaga Mahabhagavato Mahan. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manogistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Giramayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatharanam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. It's a great fortune to be here. Today is Vishwarup Vimoksha, the day when Vishwarup Mahotsava, the day when Vishwarup left this world. Vishwarup was the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya, and we know that when his parents were making arrangements for his marriage, he disappeared. He just left. And he went on pilgrimage. And later on this day, he left this world. It is said that his presence was always felt in Lord Nityananda, that it's like a part of him was always present in Lord Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya, after he had taken sannyas, he went looking for Vishwarup, and he traveled to many holy places to find out where his elder brother had gone. So today is also the day when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. It was exactly on the 17th of September, 1959. Srila Prabhupada was 63 years old, and he took sannyas in Mathura, in the holy abode of Mathura, Krishna's birthplace, in the Keshavji Gaudiya Math, from His Holiness Prakti Pragyan Keshava Kuswami Maharaj, a direct disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the senior godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada, it is written by Satsarup Maharaj in the Lilamrita, Srila Prabhupada had already had several dreams and visions of his spiritual master calling him to take sannyas. Even in his late household life, but Srila Prabhupada felt very inadequate, and he said at that time he felt, oh, how horrible, I must give up all my situation, my family, and take sannyas. But this impression was very strong in his personality. And later on we know that his family life and his business declined, and he took shelter in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar temple, Sevakunj, was engaged in his bhajan and in writing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said that occasionally he would still keep in touch with business, but there was no more real connection. And then it declined and declined and declined till it was eventually gone and finished. So, and Srila Prabhupada had several of these visions and dreams and callings. And he was living in Radha Damodar temple, for quite a number of years, more than 9 years, and he was engaging as a vanapa. How many years?
First he was living in Vamsi Gopal.
Vamsi Gopal was first, yes. Radha Damodar came after.
1961.
Okay, thank you for that. Always good to have senior sadhus who can give us the real facts. So he was in Vrindavan engaged in his bhajan and in writing Srimad Bhagavatam, and he asked the Gaudiya monks for helping him in his mission because he had received direct order from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach in the English language and to publish literatures in this fact. So he approached the headquarters of the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta. But they were not very interested in publishing his books. They said, we have so many other writings and so many other things right now that we need to do. So they could not help him. But by the beckoning, by the calling of the Lord, and by the direction that he got also from his godbrother, Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj, when he talked to him about taking sannyas, he told him, yes, you should do it now. You should not wait any longer. So he took that as a sign of his spiritual master. And on this very day, in the Kesava Gaudiya Math in Mathura, that Srila Prabhupada knew very well because he had donated Lord Chaitanya's deity in his household life. He donated a deity to that temple.
No, it came from Jhansi.
The deity?
Yeah.
But Prabhupada arranged for it.
Yeah.
He had brought it
right
to that place.
Yeah.
So,
finished his
household. Yeah. So, that deity was given by Prabhupada when he had finished his household life. It came from Jhansi. So Prabhupada was well known in that mat, and him together with a 90-year-old other devotee, they took sannyas on this very day. And when the sannyas ceremony was completed, Srila Prabhupada spoke. Now all the people present there, they only spoke Hindi. And only Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj knew some English, and one or two other persons. But Srila Prabhupada spoke in English. He gave his talk in English. Because that was his mission, to preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking language. So, today is a very important day in our Gaudiya Vaishnava calendar. It is also the beginning of the third month of Chaturmasya, been informed by Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu. And we are fasting from milk for 1 month. So, can take note of that. Here in this verse.
Another point.
Yes,
those
please.
Who are, those who are not shaving, they usually shave up on this morning.
They shave up on this
morning. It's too much. Not shaving, and they shave up this day. And then go another 2 months.
Okay. So today is the day for shaving. Okay.
Why?
Just so you know. All right. If you want to shave, today is the titi. Then you can go for another 2 months. Yes. So Maharaj Parikshit is described here as the person who will be well known in the world as one who is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Maharaj Parikshit's nature, because he was a Mahabhagavat, a topmost devotee of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam is described that there is three different categories, three different kinds of devotees. One of them is known as the Kanishtha Adhikari, the neophyte. It's a person who goes to the temple, the church, or the mosque and thinks, I am a good devotee. I am coming here and the Lord can be very proud of me that I'm coming to pay my respects. And just look at how I know the scripture and how much money I'm giving. They should be very proud of me and they should recognize me. And actually, they should worship me. because I am a saintly person. And everybody else is not really that spiritually advanced. So that person has respect for the deity, but because of a lack, as Srila Prabhupada put it in his purport, a lack of theological knowledge of the Shastra, he does not know who is who. He cannot distinguish. There is no discrimination. So generally, such a person is negligent or even sometimes neglectful or disrespectful of the other devotees. Because that tendency of thinking that I am something unique, something special, results in disrespect to others. If we think ourselves as something very special, naturally, we will disrespect others. Because we give respect to ourselves, so we can't give it to others. That is Ekanishtha Adhikari. That person's faith is very minimal. It is not very deep, not very profound. He can be persuaded, he can go either way. But still, he's chanting the names of the Lord and he's going to the temple. So, then there is the Madhyam Bhakta, the Madhyam Adhikari. He has got firm knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he engages in the Lord's worship, and he engages in preaching work. And also, he has made firm friendship with the devotees. As Prabhupada put it here in the purport, especially, he has made friendship with similar devotees, with like-minded devotees. So he knows how to keep association. He respects the seniors, he makes friendship with equals, and he shows mercy and kindness to the juniors. That is a Madhyam Bhakta. And then there is the Uttam Adhikari, the Mahabhagavat, who sees the Lord everywhere and everything connected with the Lord. In his vision, nothing is separate from Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. And thus, he is in complete harmony and peace with the world and everything in the world. So, such a person, when he engages in preaching work, will come down to the second platform of Madhyam Adhikari for the sake of acting in this world and preaching. Because a Mahabhagavat generally does not preach, because he's simply absorbed in his worshipful deity and in his meditation and in his chanting, in his bhajan. So, when Lord Chaitanya was residing in Jagannath Puri, the inhabitants of Kulinagram, headed by Satyaraj Khan, they came every year and they presented silken ropes for the Ratha Yatra to pull the chariot of Lord Jagannath. Now nowadays, we know our ropes are usually made of jute or ordinary fabrics, but in those days, they had silken ropes. Now for those of you who have been to Puri, Jagannath Ratha Yatra takes place between Jagannath Mandir and Gundicha on Grand Road, and it is a big stretch, and there is over 1 million people, more than 10 lakhs people there. The ropes are very long. Can you imagine having ropes out of silk? The ropes are about as thick as my wrist. They're quite solid ropes, because the chariots are huge. They're massive. So, their gift for the Lord was to bring those silken ropes every year. When they came, they presented humble quest to Lord Chaitanya. They said, we are householders. We are not in a very advantageous position, being engaged in business and family affairs. Please tell us, how can we make spiritual advancement? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, you should chant Hare Krishna and you should serve the Vaishnavas. Then they asked, who is a Vaishnava? How do we know who is a Vaishnava? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, serve the pure devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was questioned, who is a pure devotee? And his answer was very interesting. He said, a person who once chants Hare Krishna is a pure devotee. So the next year, they came again and they presented the ropes. And they asked the same question, not because they had forgotten, but because they were humble. So, there is no harm in presenting the same question to the spiritual master if one is actually in a mood of humility. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the same answer. You chant Hare Krishna and you serve the pure devotees. And when they asked, who is a pure devotee? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a slightly different definition. He said, a person who is continuously chanting Hare Krishna, that is a pure devotee. And the third year, the same thing happened again. And Mahaprabhu told him, a pure devotee is a person, when you see that person, you start to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada is such a Mahabhagavat, Uttamadhikari. When he came to America on Jaladuta, the first person that saw him was the Coast Guard of the Boston Harbor on a boat. And Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, and Srila Prabhupada waved, and the Coast Guard also he waved. And we heard that 4 years later he joined ISKCON. And his name was Chyavana Swami. He became an ISKCON devotee, that Coast Guard. Srila Prabhupada's glance, just his waving, was so powerful. So you have to be careful when you wave at pure devotees, because something may happen to you. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Lava Matra, a moment's association. A moment is the blinking of an eye, an 11th of a second. You just blinked a few times. So that's a moment when you blink your eye. So if we take advantage of the association of a pure devotee, even a moment of association, we'll be able to change our lives. But very often, we do not have the right attitude. We do not have the right mindset, the right disposition. So the moment comes and the moment goes, and we cannot really take conscious benefit of it. Just like food can only be appreciated when there is hunger. In the same way, we cannot truly appreciate the benevolence and the mercy of the pure devotee if we are not eager. If we do not have this eagerness, this intense greed that I need this, I want this. This is really my life-giving ambrosia. That we feel like a person who has been starving. Then we can truly appreciate the teachings of the spiritual master. Nrideha madhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukule nanabhasvateritam pumam bhavabdim natareca atmaha. The boat of the instruction of the spiritual master is always available for the sincere disciple. And the mercy of Guru is only perceived through one organ, and that is the ears. You cannot see who is Guru. You cannot feel who is Guru. You can only hear to understand who is Guru. So, Srila Prabhupada was very much noted by his Gurudev, by his spiritual master, as he hears very nicely, he does not go away. And thus he will speak very nicely in due course of time. So to actually develop conscious and very eager hearing, Maharaj Parikshit was known as the person who has perfected this first of the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Shravanam, hearing. Maharaj Parikshit is exemplifying this. For 7 days, he just sat and heard Srimad Bhagavatam without any distraction. Now, you can imagine, there was a lot of people in that audience. There was a lot of very exalted saints and sages and rishis who were present there. There was a lot of opportunity for social interaction or for distraction. But there was none of that. Shukadeva Goswami came, he sat down, and he started speaking, and everybody tuned right into the sound vibration, into the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam, and was fully absorbed. And we can see how Maharaj Parikshit was so absorbed, he was so alert, that how he's asking questions, very relevant, very pertinent questions. to Shukadeva Goswami. He's actually paying attention to what Shukadeva Goswami is saying. Now for us, that is quite astounding, because many times we just go through the routine of attending Bhagavatam class or a seminar. We park our body and we put our timer, okay, he has to stop at this time, because that's the time when I need to go take care of my business. But we do not have this eagerness, this intense greed that I really want this information. Because the more the audience is eager to listen, the more the speaker will become empowered to speak and to reveal. That is the science, the spiritual science. So, Madhvacharya, Srila Madhvacharya has stated that we can actually measure our spiritual advancement by two ways. How steady am I in the performance of my devotional service? Am I engaging in regular hearing and chanting on a daily basis? And the second one, sweet speech. What is the quality of my speaking? So sweet speech is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in the 17th chapter, text number 15, as the austerity of speech. To say things that are pleasing, beneficial, non-agitating to others, and they're always, they have to be truthful, and they have to always be connected to the Vedic literatures, to the Vedic wisdom. So that is the criteria that Krishna has given to us for speech. So Shukadeva Goswami was only speaking about topics that are very meaningful, that are very relevant, because he knew that Maharaj Parikshit, he only has 7 days to live. Plus Shukadeva Goswami, he had no interest in any other topics. In fact, he had so little interest in any topic that he left immediately when he was born. And he went to the forest to engage in spiritual practice. So how to advance from the third class to the second class? Because on the third class platform, a neophyte is usually quite confused and very prone to commit offenses and mistakes. It is a very troublesome state. So how to advance to that Madhyam Bhakta, where we have that Nishtha, that firm, fixed up faith. And we develop this Ruchi, this taste for Krishna consciousness in a solid way. That is by the preaching, by the service of preaching, we become more and more free from our misconceptions. Because Krishna, he is very expert in removing all the obstacles on a devotee's path. Everything that is between a sincere devotee and Krishna will be removed by Krishna. It will not stand. Sometimes, even our so-called success, or our so-called opulence, or our so-called material position has to be removed by Krishna, if it's an obstacle between us and Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada in his own life was always commenting how Krishna had very mercifully removed all these obstacles. Yasyaha manugrinami harishe taddanam shanai. How Krishna is giving himself to such a devotee and he's taking away all the other things that may have seeming importance and relevance in his life. So Srila Prabhupada, he always humbly put himself in a position of a conditioned soul. He very rarely spoke about himself as being a Mahabhagavat, a pure devotee. He usually would describe himself as a practitioner, not as a perfected, eternally liberated living entity. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada was simply interested in broadcasting Krishna's glories. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya, the founder of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He could have called this society the Prabhupada, the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness, or the International Society for whatever, for God Consciousness. But no, he said it has to be the Hare Krishna movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Srila Prabhupada did not have any interest in self-aggrandizement. A pure devotee is always taking the humble role as a servant. So Prabhupada simply wanted to make Krishna famous. He had no interest in making himself famous and making monuments for himself. So much so that everybody who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada became infected with his Krishna consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West on Jaladuta, and he went to Butler, Pennsylvania, which is a little town in rural America. And Butler is not a very famous place, from what I've heard. Not many people know about Butler, Pennsylvania, except devotees who've heard that Prabhupada went there. But you don't get many news from Butler, Pennsylvania. So Prabhupada went there, and he stayed at the house of Gopal and Sally Agarwal. Gopal, his father, was met by Prabhupada on a preaching program. Prabhupada asked him if his son could sponsor his visa. So he got the visa sponsorship letter, and he could apply for passport and visa with that. So Prabhupada was at their home for 3 months, but he could not stay there because the house was very small. So Srila Prabhupada was residing at the YMCA. You all know what a YMCA is? It's a cheap youth hostel, like for backpackers and students who don't have any money. So he stayed at the YMCA and he walked. He walked 7 city blocks every day to go to the house of the Agarwals to take his bath, because there was no shower facility at the YMCA, and to cook. And he was cooking for the whole family. They had 2 small children. 2 sons, and Prabhupada was cooking every day, and they loved his cooking, but they were not vegetarians. Prabhupada had to be very tolerant, so he cooked for them, and he was very favorite, he was very endearing to the whole family. Now, Sally was a 25-year-old American woman, and she was very eager to set up preaching programs for Srila Prabhupada. So, because she was very connected with what was going on in the town, so she arranged many speaking engagements for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada went to all those engagements. And one time he wrote to a friend in India, and he told his friend that today I'm going to a cultural performance and they will have Indian dance. Now, I'm a sannyasi and I have not seen Indian dance in 40 years. And I have no interest in seeing a woman dance. But I'm going there for 2 reasons. Because, first of all, I want to see how the American people receive this culture and tradition. And secondly, I want to see what is the social interaction. What are the social norms? How do the people interact? What is the hospitality? How do they greet them and how do they serve them? Because Prabhupada was coming from Vrindavan. Now, for those of you who have been to Vrindavan, you know that the social norms and customs in Vrindavan are quite different to what they are in the West. Like if you meet somebody in Vrindavan, you say, Jai Radhe, or Jai Sri Krishna, or Hare Krishna. That is the norm of greeting. What do people say here? Kadai Mai. Good morning, yes. So, quite a different. People come and they want to shake your hand. They don't do that in Vrindavan. You know, people may fold pranams, namaskar, like that. So, everything, from greeting to food to everything, was totally different. So, just to show you how different it was, when Prabhupada was staying at that house, he took his bath there. So, one day, Sally, she was in the living room, and in America, there's usually carpet in the living room. So Prabhupada was in the bathroom, and underneath the door there was water coming into the living room and flooding the living room and making the whole carpet wet. So this happened every day. So Sally got a little worried, but what can she tell? Swamiji is a 70-year-old sadhu, a sannyasi from India, like her grandfather. She cannot just go up to him and say, "What are you doing in the bathroom?" But since this was happening regularly, she had to ask. So at one point she said, "Swamiji, there seems to be a problem with the water and what's happening. Can you..." I said, "I'm just taking my bath." So she said, "Can you show me?" So Prabhupada said, "Sure, no problem." So Prabhupada filled up the bathtub, because in America everywhere is bathtub. Now in India usually there is no bathtubs, because bathtub is considered muchi. It's not clean. You don't swim around in your own, you know, that's not clean. So he filled up the whole bathtub with water, and then he would take a lota, a cup, and he was about to take water and pour it over himself while he was standing in the bathroom. And then all the water would go into the living room. See, she said, no, that's not how we take bath here in America. So Prabhupada said, "Why not? That's how everybody takes bath in India. Huh? You fill up bucket with water, you take lota and you throw water. Right? That's how everybody takes bath." She said, no. "In America, we stand inside the bathtub and we take bath." Prabhupada said, "Oh, okay, I can do that." So then a few days passed, and again water was coming from the bathroom. And the carpet was getting spoiled. And she heard this sound, this really curious sound. She got very worried. So she asked, "Swamiji, what are you doing in the bathroom?" The Prabhupada said, "I am doing my laundry." She said, "Can you show me?" He said, "Sure." So he filled again up the bathtub with water, and he soaked his clothes in the water, and then he took them and he was beating them on the floor. And water was flowing. So she said, no, that's not how we do laundry in America. In India, everybody does laundry like that. You go to well or to river or to lake and you wash your clothes and you beat it on the rock." She said, "No." She said, "Come on, I will show you." So she took him to laundromat. And there was many, many washing machines. And Prabhupada's eyes grew big and he was watching the machine I was turning. And so she gave him a plastic bag with many coins so he could do his laundry in the laundromat. So Prabhupada did not know these things. But because his pure desire to give people Krishna consciousness was so endearing, it was so convincing, people felt so attracted and uplifted, that everybody remembered him fondly. One time Prabhupada was in a different room and Sally was in the living room. And he heard this huge noise. And Prabhupada came running. "What's happening? What's going on?" And he saw Sally holding this big stick and moving it on the ground. And he said, "What is this?" And she said, "That is a vacuum cleaner." He said, "What does it do?" He said, "It cleans the carpet." So Prabhupada had never seen a vacuum cleaner. Because in India, if there is carpets, you take them outside and then you beat them with a stick, you know, and in this way you clean them. So, but Prabhupada was very, very agile. You know, sometimes when we get older than 30, we think like, "Oh, I'm set in my ways now. I can't change anything in my life. You know, that's just the way it is. You just have to take me the way I am, okay? That's it." The Prabhupada was 70 years old, and he was coming from this greatly elevated position, from this highly cultured and refined and sophisticated background, but he was ready to adjust the details in order to make Krishna consciousness accessible and appealing to the common person, to the common man. Now when the devotees went back to Buffalo, Pennsylvania a few years ago, they walked in procession from the YMCA to the former house of the Agarwals. And Sally and Gopal was there. And they took part in this yatra, in this excursion. And they were both over 70 years old. So they were performing Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, walking from the YMCA all the way to their former house. Because now they had a bigger house in the suburbs. So, and it was raining. And they were chanting and dancing in front of their former house. And of course, you know the devotees. One devotee had to run up to the house and knock on the door to try to get inside. But nobody was there, luckily. You can imagine the person opens the door and there's 80 people in bed sheets chanting and dancing in front of your house. So, but Sally was commenting afterwards that Swamiji was so special. I mean, Gopal, her husband, has not danced at their wedding. He has not danced in all the 45 years that she's known him. She has never seen him dance in his life. But today, she saw Gopal dance in the rain, chanting Hare Krishna outside of his former house, remembering Swamiji. So that is the power of love, that is the power of a pure devotee, of a Mahabhagavat, who is so endearing that everybody becomes, what is called in the other verse, becomes obliged to him. We hear many accounts of Prabhupada disciples and of people who became favorable to Krishna consciousness, whose lives were touched by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada obliged him by his great mercy and kindness. So, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana tatra savasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna. These qualities, all the qualities of the demigods, of the devas, will become manifested in a person who practices Krishna consciousness sincerely, takes to this process without any duplicity, without any ulterior motive. Then we can actually get the goal of this process. I was just in Kiev in the Ukraine and I was giving Sunday feast class, and one girl, she was 11 years old, she asked the question at the end, how can I complete my full set, my set of Srimad Bhagavatam? There's four books which are missing. And Ukraine is not a very wealthy country, so she did not have the money to buy the books, but she was collecting them in different ways. So I gave her a few tips how she can complete her collection of Srimad Bhagavatams. And then she said that her mother is surviving or living by selling prasadam. So she's making samosas and she's selling them on the marketplace to all the people who go to the marketplace. And she said that the lady who supplies the cheese, which is inside those samosas, she died a few days ago. But that 11-year-old girl said that she knows that this lady has gotten a very favorable destination because of two reasons. Number one, she bought a book from that girl. She bought one of Prabhupada's books. And number two, she was always supplying the cheese at good price for prasadam distribution. So I was thinking, how can an 11-year-old girl have so much faith in Srimad Bhagavatam? So much taste for this process. And here we are, mostly grown-ups. And what is my taste for Srimad Bhagavatam? What is my attraction? What is my state of consciousness? What is my absorption? Am I absorbed in Krishna Katha and in Krishna Seva and in Krishna Nam? Or am I absorbed in trivial pursuits of the mundane variety? So, on these special days, we can introspect and see how much is my attraction to Krishna? Am I actually making advancement? So, how much am I detached from material energy? They go hand in hand. We have 100% of attraction. How much am I giving to Krishna? Then we know that the balance will be taken up by material energy. So today is a very special day. We can pray at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, to please grant us a fraction of sincerity and of sincerity of desire and purpose to take fully shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and engage wholeheartedly in propagating His glories so that we can also become detached from this material world. Eventually we all have to take sannyas. We all have to become renounced. The saffron will come. Either it will come by the saffron cloth, or it will become by the saffron flames of the fire, which will absorb our body. Mm-hmm. When I was in Udupi, my friend and Ayurvedic doctor, he was telling me one day, it's quite astounding how in this world everybody's lying and cheating and stealing and doing so many devious things. Why? Just to try to get some name, fame, profit, adoration, and some material gain. But he said, all you need in life is only five friends. Now I know everybody nowadays tries to have so many friends on Facebook and so many other types of friends. But actually, all you need is only five friends. You want to know what those five friends are that you need? I'm going to tell you, even if you don't want to know. That's the kind of person I am. He said, all the five friends that you need is four guys to carry the stretcher and one person to put the fire. And he said, those five fellows, they're already waiting for you at the right place, at the right time. They're already there. So you don't have to lie, cheat, steal, do anything bad, because your five friends, rest assured, they're already waiting for you at the right destination. So, Srila Prabhupada was not at all worried about what will the future bring. He was simply surrendering himself fully to Krishna's lotus feet. Fully taking shelter of Krishna. And in this way, we can see how Krishna carried him in the palm of his hands. He carried him over the Atlantic. And he took care of him. From the mundane, the external point of view, it did not look very advantageous. Srila Prabhupada suffered two heart attacks. He was struggling very intensely without any help in New York. But still, he pushed on. He persevered. He pushed forward because he knew that this is the desire of my spiritual master. This is the desire of the Lord. So, today we can pray to His divine grace that He may also grant us this perseverance, this utsaha nischaya dharyat, tatat karma pravartana, sangotyaga satovrite, sadvir bhaktir prasidati. Srila Prabhupada very much exemplifies these words in his own life. So today let us absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting Krishna's holy name, remembering Srila Prabhupada, how on this day he took sannyas, he formally, officially entered into the sannyas order, and he dedicated his entire life, pranay artair, diyavacha, for the service of the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada was always absorbed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. What is that mood? Naivod vijay paraduratya vaitaranyas tadviri gayana mahamrita magna chita shucheta tomukucheta sa indiartam maya sukhayam varamudvahatovi mudhan. Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Lord Narasingadev. For myself, there is no problem, there is no difficulty. But when I see the suffering of the fools and rascals, of all these people who are engaged in Maya Sukha, my heart is paining. And I think, how can I act to benefit them? How can I make them fortunate? So that is Prahlad Maharaj's mood. That is Srila Prabhupada's mood. That is the mood of the Mahabhagavas, of the pure devotees. The more we absorb ourselves and we serve that mood, that mission, the more we will also become connected to that state of consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Comments? The best of the
common law.
I
think they maybe changed it now.
Okay.
They didn't say it was pure devotee.
Okay.
So can you explain how the Uttama Adhikari some sounds that magic might want to preach.
Do you please tell us? This is beyond my range.
Spiritually, he doesn't come down. He stays at the same level. Utmaya-mari.
Externally.
Externally. No, not externally.
I mean, in his acting.
He changes his mentality. This is Utmaya-mari. He's everyone serving Krishna. So he can't preach. So he has to come to the Madhyama platform so we can distinguish between the innocent and those demons or the atheists.
Thank you.
We used to go to Keshava Gaudiya and enjoy the learn how to program in the state. And now we don't have to do that anymore.
Why? Why?
Some politics.
Oh.
Yeah. And Prabhupada two times. Bhaktisiddhanta came in a dream two times to Prabhupada and told him to take sannyas. Both times Prabhupada became very fearful. But you said Prabhupada wasn't worried, but Prabhupada was going to the steamship company to see when the ships were going to go back to India. He wasn't sure what he was going to stay in America to go back to India. And then Srila Prabhupada started this movement in New York. Then he went to San Francisco. And then he had to come back to India for himself. Health was bad. So he told the devotees in San Francisco, now you push on this movement. And they didn't even know they were in a movement.
Thank you. Other realizations? Please.
I was just wondering, with the conversation between Maharaj Krishna, how many questions Maharaj Krishna asked him?